Okay, now we get on to fluorescence. Fluorescence then is looking at electrons again. We're looking at an electronic transition between electronic spin states. Now, we haven't done much on quantum numbers except to say that in first year we had the principal quantum number, which specifies the shell. We then had the angular quantum number, which specified the shape. The magnetic quantum number specified the orientation. Then finally, the spin quantum number, which made sure that you could only have two electrons in an orbital. Now, we're talking about that spin quantum number. So the subscript here tells you about the state of the particular molecule that you're looking at. And so here we're saying a singlet ground state for the molecule, S0. The 0 is telling you it's the ground state. And here S1 is telling you it's a excited state for the atom, and the spin state remains as a singlet. Now, the description of singlets and that I leave out of this course, but it's sufficient to know, like, when we're talking about the oxygen that's involved for you guys in the formation of the hydroxyl radical, that guy was a singlet state of oxygen. So again, it was talking about the spin state of an atom. No, we didn't, because it's sort of more advanced treatment of quantum chemistry, and I'd have to go into a great big diatribe for a couple of lectures to cover it, and it's a bit hard. Yeah. So at the moment, it's just the essence of it then, this is relying on the spin quantum number for the whole molecule, and it's very specific. It's talking about a specific spin state, which is a singlet spin state, and it's switching back to the most stable state, which is a singlet ground state. Now what we now do is we shine light onto the sample and we then measure emission. So this is completely to the previous two. The previous two were absorption techniques. We shine light on the sample, we measure that absorption, the difference between what's going in and what's coming out the other end. In this case here, we don't do it at all. We've got a sample, we shine light on it. What happens is that sample absorbed light and then it emits. And now we measure at 90 degrees because what we're measuring then is only that light that was produced by the molecule. It's quite a different concept, an emission technique. So here's our piece of gear. Looks quite similar to the other one. We've got a light source, which is producing the light that we require to produce our singlet excited state. So it goes through a monochromator, light of the white wavelength, hits the sample. Now the sample, when it gets to the singlet first excited state, then drops back to the zero, the ground state. And at that point, it releases a photon. So plus H nu, that indicates a photon released. So that photon is going in all directions, all those photons. You measure then strictly at 90 degrees so that you don't pick up anything that's coming out of your monochromator. This is solely being produced from your sample. That then is fed off through, again, a wavelength selective analyzer monochromator through to the detector. The emissions are in the UV range. And we can either then use a photomultiplier or a diode array to detect the signal. Now the advantage of this thing is it's very specific because you're relying on your molecule then picking up a wavelength of light and then emitting at a characteristic wavelength of light. As a result, you're able to get to really good trace levels, part per billion. In this case, for sulfur dioxide, same sort of levels for PAH, as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon. The equation, now remember these equations are given, the Beer law and all of that, these are given. You just have to remember when to use them. This one looks quite similar. It relates the intensity, now the emission, to the concentration of the analyte. Where it's a little different, it depends on the power of that signal that's being used. So here's our light source. We're now talking about the power of that light source, and as before, there's a like a slope term, it was called the molar absorptivity. We've now got another coefficient here that ensures that there's a good linear correspondence between the concentration and the emission intensity. So that's fluorescence.